Blog Talk Radio.
Game 7 Radio, we back. What's going on, Tank?
Bum, 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 bum. Game 7, what's happening?
New week, my man. Say that again.
I said, excuse me if I sound funny. I'm doing all types of stuff.
Yeah, we got some.
This is my last day to work late.
Yeah, I'm glad you was able to go ahead and make it happen this week. For all our callers, Mika won't be with us tonight. She's got some things going on, so she won't be able to make it with us tonight. So I'm sure, Tim, we're probably about to lose half of our callers with Mika not being on the line tonight.
Right. They're going to miss the boss lady.
Yeah.
But hey, women listeners, y'all can call in to the show tonight and fill in for us. Ain't no problem.
That's right. We got – hold on 1 second. Joe, is that you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yo, Joe, what's going on, brother?
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, I was just telling him, Joe, with Mika not making the show tonight, we probably already lost half our little small callers already tonight.
Most definitely.
Before we kind of get into the topic tonight, Tank, you want to go ahead and hit us with some of the news that we can use?
Yeah, I got some light news this week. Of course, everybody knows the topic, and we know the main news, but the Grammys did take place this weekend. Shout out to J. Cole, and my boy 21 Savage brought one home. Billy English got a couple of victories. The Grammys did do a tribute to my man, Mamba. Also, Grammy weekend out in California at the mall, I don't know if you guys saw it, Meek Mills got into it with Nicki Minaj and her new husband. Shout match in the school about the escalating school fight. In my opinion, for nothing on both of them parts. Like, it makes no sense.
Right.
It's the Grammy. Grow up is over with. Yeah, this lady's married is over with. Let's move on. What do you think about that, Joe? Did you see that? Did either one of you guys get to see that?
I got a chance to watch it. Yeah, I got a chance to watch it.
What you thought about that?
My first initial thought was, is my boy Meek still bitter? You know what I mean? Is it some heart, feeling still involved, when you see the Essence glowed up still, doing her thing, ain't lost a step, you tend to get a little in your feelings or whatnot. So I had to wonder, was it something like that, bro? But, some of the witnesses said that it started from the other camp. That, it escalated when he was provoked. Yeah, man. I didn't expect that from my boy Meek, man.
Speaking of the Grammys.
Hold on, Tank. I gotta get my Meek part in. Like the thing I don't understand is you would think that Meek was almost more on the safari level. It's like Meek, you can't find nobody to love. Like, I mean, as many fake body parts, no knock to Nicki Minaj, but as many fake body parts that she has, like, you don't think you could find you a natural good woman. Like, Nicki Minaj ain't that bad, and she's not naturally bad. So I don't get that whatsoever.
It just threw a curveball to me. Also, again, this all culminated for the Grammy weekend out of L.A. Puff gave, I don't know if you guys saw, Puff gave a speech talking about how the Grammys have been doing hip-hop and, black musicians and black music wrong for a long time. I wanted you guys' opinion on that, listeners or my two cohorts. You guys think about that. Do you think Puff's speech was too much? Was it just right? Or what are your overall views of it?
They've
been shitting on hip-hop forever, since the beginning.
Let's not act as if like he's wrong. You know what I mean?
Right.
Let's not act like he's wrong in his sentiments when he say that, hip-hop been getting shitted on from jump when it comes to the Grammys. We don't watch Jay-Z nominated for 7 awards go home with nothing. You know what I mean? Like,
It's not
and,
a real
and,
thing
and
for
like hip hop to feel like that.
And I'm talking about shitting on from the perspective. You remember back in the days, y'all, they wouldn't even air our awards. We'd just come out and just scroll across the bottom. Jazzy
right,
won the award for album of the year. We don't even get to see them come up and get the award. You know?
Yeah, they gave our awards away at the pre-show.
He said 100% true, but I'm just like, what I'm saying, going back to the 80s, we don't need validation from the Grammys. Let's move on. If you just mail that shit in to us. We don't even have to go. Doesn't matter.
And that's where I met with it, bro. You feel me? That's where I
right,
met with
like,
it. That's, you know what I mean?
Hey, let's not go to the Grammys,
yeah,
guys.
Like,
okay, Rock, hey, Rock Nation Brunch.
That's what I
took. Move your brunch to BET weekend or move it to somewhere else.
That's exactly what I took from it, bro. I took from it.
Right, that's what
my whole take. My whole take from it was, okay, they're not inviting us to the table. Well, can we go? Can we not go somewhere else to eat? You know what I mean?
Right.
Why can't you? Why can't you, Jay, Beyonce, all y'all?
Let's celebrate this.
Exactly. Either create your own, or you know, how about we go to our own award show, BET, and make that bigger
right.
and better every year? You know, because y'all don't
right.
even show up there.
Right.
Bigger wow, and better. Can we just say bigger and good in general? The BET Awards.
Yeah, like right. You can make it good. Make it bigger.
Okay, BET Awards now. All them hands up.
It's been some decent ones. But I'm just saying, they were looking at the BET Awards and don't show up at all. Versus
right.
begging for acceptance at the Grammys. Why is that?
Which
you know what I mean?
Which suck, by the way.
Trash.
We're talking as if the Grammys don't suck. They do.
Trash. You feel me? So, I mean, that to me is a bigger issue. I would much rather for us to take our own and blow it up to make, you know, Billy Eilish and whoever else want to come to our award show, go blow that up versus begging to sit down and, for validation at their table, bro.
I agree. And
is it anybody that can do it besides Jay-Z or Diddy that has respect level to be able to pull something off like that? Because I think BET Awards, it's not going to happen. Like, you're going to have to destroy and rebuild that.
Yeah, I do agree that, you know what I mean, it needs to work. But, I mean, off the top of my mind, if Puff Daddy show up, Jay-Z show up, if you got a – when was the last time Beyonce performed at a BET Awards? And she has been nominated – countless numbers of times and still don't show up. I mean, you take those three and then you start building from like this new crop of talent that we have, her and some of the other ones, Summer Walker and whatnot. Get some of these performances and get some of the youth movement in there while you still pay homage to some of the great in R&B and hip hop. I'm just saying five to ten greatest artists that don't show up to the BET Awards every year.
Right. And before I got cut off, guys, I was just saying, Jay, you know, like you said, the Essence Awards. It don't have to be BET. It could be the Essence Awards. It could be the Trumpet Awards. Anything that celebrates the cultural
mm-hmm.
arts of the urban and black people and arts and entertainment. It could be any of those award shows. And just like Joe when I came back in and just build on that.
They'll come before, bro. Like, if you go back to 95, 96, Tupac, they were showing up at the Soul Train Awards. Like,
right.
those was...
Even the Soul Train Awards.
You know
Awards,
what I mean? Those,
you know,
yeah, like, some of the biggest stars was at the Soul Train Awards in suits and whatnot.
Right.
Like, though, you know, they had a way of saluting our culture and our music, and we put pride in winning that. Mary J. Blige them took pride and winning a Soul Train
right.
Award. So now if it's not a Grammy, we not, you know, it's not validation, and I don't agree with that at all.
Right, me either. And like I said, the Grammy is the Grammy. You don't, just like you don't show up for these other shows, they'll mail you your Grammy. It's registered. It's coming. You ain't got to go. You do not have to go. It's coming.
True story.
Wait, and Tank, they kind of touch on your, and I really hadn't, as y'all know, I'm not as up on music and what's going on, but I did see that Tyler, the creator, got he got the best rap album, and he even said that was a backhand compliment that his album shouldn't fit in the rap album category. So I think he said he sang. I mean, it was mostly singing through the album anyway.
Yeah,
You talking about Tyler? Yeah.
Yeah, I think he said what he said. I'm just like, why can't we be in pop?
Right. You're exactly right, and we can, but they want to pigeonhole us. But they want to pigeonhole us. But by the time the summer comes, they're gonna try to get Justin Bieber a BET award for Yummy. He's already in the making.
It's big facts and a performance.
Right. But a person like Lizzo or like Tyler, their album should be in pop. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, they do, you know, album of the year. I guess you can say, you know, that's not just pigeonhole. So I will say, you know, you get song of the year, album of the year. That could be multiple genres, not just specific to one genre. But I do agree with you. It's not enough of us. And pop is only popular music. And for the last 15 years, hip-hop is the most popular music. Without a question.
This is true statement, bro. Like, I think,
just like Jay said,
I think it's crazy, but you're right. Like, Roderick, his album could be, you could take a Roderick song and what makes it not a popular song? Like, what makes
right.
it not pop music? If it's the number one song in hip-hop and
the
we
country.
Are consistently the most popular, you feel me, genre of music right now. So why are we not considered pop music as well?
Right. Lil Nas X had the biggest song in the history of songs. And they was like, no, we don't want him to be country. Hey, we don't want him to be country. This is a hip-hop song. Don't never get it confused. We're not mad that
right.
the country awards don't want him. No, it's not a country rap. Yeah. I wasn't mad about it. But to wrap up the news, the biggest news in the world the weekend, I did have another part of it, but it's going to tie in our conversation. We lost. Now, I won't even say arguably, unless you just want to argue. One of the greatest, when I say one of top three, top two basketball players of all time, and Kobe Green Bryant. Him, his daughter, and several other people. Well, six other people, including the pilot, were traveling to his girl daughter's basketball game and lost their lives in Calabasas, California, on the side of a mountain. Rock not only the basketball community, we even got Birmingham, Alabama got a tribute tonight somewhere for Kobe. Worldwide, impacted the world, global. We've been put in a situation where we've never seen nothing like this ever. So, you know, I hate to close out the news, but it's just a segue into what we're about to go into. It was terrible, terrible news. I just got back in town. It's just unbelievable. Lots of words. Just unbelievable.
Yeah. That was
Joe, I know that's your man. I know that's definitely wifey man and y'all team. Hey, I was a Celtics fan and an MJ fan to the heart. But I always, not just the people have to say that, yeah, you know, we respect Kobe, but I always understood this is a dog for real. No question. You know, some people put Bron at two.
Yeah.
I put that Bean at two. Bron at three, reluctantly, but he's a machine.
And I think, you know, one of the main things that we had kind of, can we talk about it at all? Briefly, I think it was yesterday. I think we're seeing all over social media, and I think we can touch on that of everybody talking about, yeah, you all didn't know Kobe Bryant. Why are you caring? But I don't think people understand the impact that you don't have to know someone for it to have an impact on your life. So I guess that's one of the things we want to talk about is like, I know, Tank, you said he's a dog. It's what did Kobe Bryant mean to you, Joe?
Well, Kobe Bryant was, to me, like a representation of, like, what was possible if you bust your ass and work hard. Like, he wasn't like this, you know, Jerry West called him a child, you know, a prodigy when he saw him in high school. But it was something, you know, he came into the league and it wasn't like this thing where he just came in and he was averaging 23 points and, you know what I mean, this Sports Illustrated star where he was going to, you know, paid the greatest of all time when he first got there. Like, he just showed, like, with a relentless work ethic, what was really possible. Like, kind of speaking into existence of, I'm going to be the greatest you ever seen, and then go out there and put the work in. It's like a testament to what can happen if you're diligent enough, you bust your ass enough, you work hard, and you go out there and, you know, and accomplish anything. Like, so, like, you know, I take that from him more so than anything. Like, you know what I mean, just that off-the-court work ethic he had. But, man, I've never – that's why he's, like, my number one, bro. Like, I've never seen greatness move and, you know, at like that, bro. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. Me and my wife had to say, well, we don't put Jordan in the conversation because we just feel like Jordan is going to go unmatched because of so many different reasons. So, you know what I mean? So, like, if you was to exclude Jordan and all his greatness out of the conversation, then who? And it's Kobe Bryant for me. Like,
right.
He was just
– I couldn't –
you know
I
what I mean?
Agree more. And even with,
yeah,
the,
like,
even with the tragedy – even with the tragedy, it shows you, oh, man, Kobe really is that dude like Mike. I mean, this has rocked Earth.
It has. It did, bro.
This rocked the globe, bro.
The globe got rocked by this one. But, you know, like, and me and Chick, and, you know, we cried, bro. Like, I had my kids cried and whatnot. I was asleep and saw it on the TV and woke up to, like, 27 messages of, are you okay? Man, I'm so sorry. I'm praying for y'all. I legit thought something happened to my family, bro. Like, I was like, wait a minute, hold up. What's going on?
Right.
And then to, like, for it really to start coming in, like, wait a minute. Did the world just lose Kobe Bryant? Like, are we,
right.
Like, is that what we're saying? Like, it really took a toll on me. Like, I've been in a state of sadness since I got that news. But I was going to say, me and my wife trying to grasp some type of silver lining out of this, and it's so difficult too. But the one thing, like, we both can take solace in is everything we have argued about and debated about, years of barbershop conversations and Facebook, Twitter rants, and now the world stops to say the same thing that we've been saying and seeing what we have seen in him forever. Like, you know what I mean? Now the world has stopped to get a man exactly what he deserves. And that's all I ever wanted for Kobe Bryant. All I've ever wanted for him was the world to see him as great as I saw him. And now
and
he got, you know, now he's getting it. Yeah.
Right.
And I salute the man for it.
And like we tell people, it's not about, it's only a few people that the world gonna stop for. It's just, and you know, we hate to be cynical with it, but that's just the way it is. And he's one of those things.
A handful.
I was going to say, Tank, when you had said earlier, you know, he's like that guy, like Jordan. And until, I hate to say, like, the tragedy brings it to this, but then you realize that everybody, when they looked at Jordan, I think they admired Jordan as a basketball player. I think they respected Kobe as a person because Kobe actually poured into other players. I mean, you know, if you guys remember that that first Olympics when Kobe played on the team with them guys, that was every single player on that team's best year coming out. That, you know, even this year, this past summer, Kobe had a secret camp for players to get them prepared for the upcoming season. I mean, I think he loved the game. I think Jordan loved to win. Kobe loved the game, and Kobe would pour that into anybody who was willing to listen.
Mm. I kind of agree with that. Kobe loved to win. Now he loved to win like Mike. He don't like, I mean, I'm going to say he love to win more than the game. He love to win. He that's what I like. That's what people say. Like, my third favorite player is AI. I always like AI because no matter, he's 6'1", playing like a giant out there. I remember when the Lakers got at him. Y'all remember that? Yeah, I used to kind of like the 76ers too. But the dog in him is what they kill him. That's what LeBron lacks. Killer. Kobe is, you know, on that court, he is business to his teammates, to the opposing team for sure, to coaches. He's not no joke now. Phil Jackson will tell you that.
Hey Tank, and when I say about Kobe loved the game, is what I say is, you know, when you look back over Jordan's career, Jordan had to build a he almost had to have some animosity, like, to get himself going. Like, Kobe just did it. Like, Kobe didn't have to. Kobe just got after it. Kobe didn't need any extra ammunition or any other motivation other than just playing the game of basketball. Like, Jordan had a chip on his shoulder. Kobe just wanted to play the game and share the game. Because, I mean, look at it. I mean, think about even the direction that Kobe's daughter was going compared to Jordan's kid. I mean, like, they played ball, but you could see that Kobe's daughter was going to be a monster.
Man. And that's another layer of the tragedy that hurts, because you don't get that second legacy that was coming that you saw in her. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she was coming to take that Black Mamba, become the Mambacita, and go out there and ball out for her dad. Like, I remember, you know what I mean, I was just reading something yesterday that was saying that Jimmy Kimmel made the joke to Kobe about having a son, because you need somebody that was going to carry on that, you know, that legacy or whatnot. And she gave Jimmy Kimmel the ugliest look, like, he don't need a son, I got it.
Mm.
And they laughed at it. They laughed at that, you know what I mean, together. But it was something that, you know, Jimmy said that he took away from him, that he couldn't wait to see her get to where she was going to get to, because the same look in the eyes that Kobe had, that terrified players, he said he felt terrified looking at her, because he saw it in her eyes. Now, I'm going to, man, don't ever say that, like, because I'm going to kill once I get out there. You get what I'm saying? Like,
right.
So,
and she was dead serious about
that. She was dead serious. But to lose that on top of losing him just compounds the sadness of what we lost, because, you know, that just added a layer to the sadness to lose such potential in the future, bro. Like, I hate it. You know, I hate that.
And I think that as we getting older, and as Kobe transitioned in his life, and as we transition in our lives, I honestly think my favorite Kobe moment that I've ever saw was the the video that I was just showing my girl, I was showing her what 2 weeks ago was when they were on the sidelines and they were talking, and you could tell like she was saying something, you could just like, you get it, yep, that's right, and like that moment, like.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get that out of my head, and it was just watching him become, because he was, that man loved his family. He loved his family. What'd you say, Tank?
I mean, like, let's.
I said he was all about them now. He was all about his family.
Yeah, like, as a Laker fan, I watch all Laker games. Like, I'm always watching the Laker game. And one thing, most definitely for certain, bro, and I'm sure y'all recognize this for real. When Kobe left and said Mamba out, that's exactly what he meant. He wasn't coming back. You feel me? Like,
right.
It was going to take something drastic to bring him back to basketball, because once he fell out of love with basketball, you feel what I'm saying? Like, once he was done with it, the love was there, but he was like, my body can't do this no more. I have to go put my mind into 100 other different things. His family is what he loved the most, and to see the love for the game that his daughter had, that what drove him back into the Staples Center. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he came back because he wanted to see her light up when she saw some of her favorite players like Trae Young and Luka and whatnot. Like, some of those players is, you know, who she was looking up to, but she brought him back to the game when he stepped away from it. So, it's still crazy to just be able, like, to see R.I.P. next to his name. Like, it's just, you know, it's crazy.
Right.
It's still unreal.
It's still unreal. But I share with you on that, though, Jay. I do think, like, that was one of my favorite Kobe moments post-career, is seeing him on the court with his daughter sharing that moment. One of my favorite moments of him on the court, though, is when I first realized, like, I've been a fan since he got in the league, but when I first realized, oh, shit, this dude going to be that man, bro. Like, he's going to be it, was in 2000, bro, when Shaq fouled out, I want to say it was game four versus the Pacers or whatnot, and they literally mailed that game in. It was just like, okay, Shaq gone. It's going to go down. We're going to tie up 2-2, going back to Indiana. And Kobe would not let that happen. And he made the little step back, little jumper on Jalen, and he turned around and started pumping his hands out like, calm down. I got this. Bro, like, that moment was the moment, like, the world knew Kobe was going to be somebody to deal with, bro. Like, he's somebody that we're going to have to deal with. We already can't deal with Shaq as it is. But, dude, like, that's going to be somebody we're going to have to deal with, too. And I felt like that was his arrival, like Tate said. Like, I felt like that jumper and that sequence in fourth quarter and overtime of that game when he snatched that victory away from the Pacers was his arrival to the league as, yeah, I'm going to be an all-star forever and I'm going to be there.
Right. Because everybody knows, you know, he's always going to be good players. He's going to be some pretty good players. But to get to that man, that is not for everybody. And you saw this when Kobe transitioned, that you were like, oh, like I said, me liking MJ, the Celtics, even AI, but we knew, oh, man, Kobe is a problem. Like Shaq, problem. You know, it ain't
problem.
It's a problem. And that's why I always respect him. And I always like him. He was kind of arrogant, standoffish, but not really. If you listen to the players, they say he was because he was not like them. He's not like AI from Virginia, just, you know, one leg up. He's practicing.
Yeah.
Practice? Hey, I don't want to go to practice. Hey, I'm shooting dice, but he's still good. That's a bitch going to shoot dice.
I remember.
Kobe's in the gym. Practice at 12. Kobe in the gym at 8.
Well, I guess it was what? Probably about 17, 18 years ago when I met Joe at Shelton. And,
right.
This is how our relationship actually developed, Tank, is me, Joe, and two other guys. I can't remember their names. We talked sports. I was a Kings fan. Joe was a Lakers fan. One of the guys was a Spurs fan. I can't remember the other one. Joe, do you remember? But regardless, yeah. At that time, I hated Kobe. I mean, granted, I'm a Kings fan. I hated Kobe. But once I realized that every time that he had the ball in his hands, I was nervous, I knew that he had all my respect, because when he had the ball, and you knew, especially after the Shaq years, you knew if there was 10 seconds left, you knew who the ball was going to. There was no double team that was going to save you. And maybe he missed it. Chances are he was going to make it, but you knew who was going to carry that load going in them last 10 seconds.
Without a question.
Man, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I used to marvel at that. That was something that, you know what I mean, I respected Jordan for. But, you know what I mean, you kind of look at Kobe and go, yeah, he took that and, you know, and had that part about him. Something,
right.
And I try to instill that with my kids today, bro. Like, Kobe was okay if the shot went in or it didn't go in. You going to put all the pressure on my back, though. We're going to win or lose this with me, and I promise you I'm going to hold it down. Whether we win or lose, put it all on my back, though. You know what I'm saying? And it's something about being a leader, because some people, you can give them the ball with 3 seconds to go, and they're looking to see, hey, get this out of my hand, man. I don't want this. I don't want to shoot it. You know what I mean? They call it making the best basketball play if you want to. Some people do not want to take their last shot. They don't want to go to the free throw line. They don't want to hit that three. They don't want to do it because at the end of the day, they don't want that pressure that comes with what happens if it don't go in. Kobe didn't care about that, bro. Like,
and I think
every time he put it up, going in.
And with all of that work that he put in, that, I mean, we've seen that with LeBron, right? Like, I think that was one of the biggest knocks for the early first half of his career was a lot of times he did not want that shot. I mean, even in the later part of his career. What'd you say?
He don't even want it right now, but I will say this. Come Friday night, LeBron is going to change on us.
I agree.
I got an eerie feeling that the dog is on the way. I got about to put the Lakers, bro. You about to put the Lakers on his back, bro.
Bro, I got this feeling, bro. Like, dead ass had this feeling too. That something, bro. Like, you know, call it spiritual, whatever you want to call it, bro. But some awakening is going to happen within LeBron James. You feel me? I've never been a LeBron James fan. Like, y'all already know. Like, I've never been a fan of his. And it really wasn't at fault of him. You know what I mean? Like, it really was like the media and his bigging up a kid before he even proved himself, or this rush to give him the throne while my man Kobe Bryant is still in the league, winning championships, doing his damn thing. It's like, let's not rush and skip this guy that is great right now. Like, my displeasure came from watching him pass the ball at times that my man would have shot that ball, or missing free throws that my man, I know my man gonna go up there and make. You know what I'm saying? So it was just like, I just despise the flopping and the game management. I'm gonna sit out today when my man will go out there with an Achilles torn and go make his free throws.
Right.
Like, that was the reason why I wasn't rocking with LeBron like I rock with Kobe. But there's gonna be an awakening, bro. Like, I just think he's going to feel the need to scrap up whatever he found in Kobe Bryant, and he's going to go personify it and embody that. And if he was to ever get that thing that made Kobe great, LeBron would be the most unstoppable player we probably have ever seen, even in his last couple of years, if he can embody what Kobe represented. That's all he was missing.
One thing I want to post to you all, I've got like a certain group of people in my mind, like, I think who can transcend one skill set. Like, I put LeBron James, who is actually a pretty decent entertainer. I think you look at the Peyton Manning, who is actually a decent entertainer. You look at Jay-Z, who is more of a businessman. And I think we were watching Kobe transition to being a successful, extremely successful businessman.
Man, he broke it with what is the body armor with Coca-Cola? That was $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
He took the money. Great businessman.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that people won't. And yeah, I know that the Jordan lovers, but I think if you really put him on, if you put him on the same stage, if you put Kobe would win a championship. If Kobe had his own team, Kobe would win a championship before Jordan did.
I don't know about that.
As far as a CEO?
Oh, you're talking about of a team?
Yeah, I mean, as far as a businessman. I mean, Jordan got the shoes.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's a monster on its own, right? Like,
I thought you were talking about something totally different. You're talking about if Kobe was, like, on the team, like, Mike, is that what you're saying? I want to make sure.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, Michael, they're pulling out trash. I don't know what's going on. I just don't. it's taking Michael a while to get the basketball thing together, you know.
And with the first pick, Michael Jordan has selected Kwame Brown.
With the first selection for the Charlotte Bobcats, they select Adam Morrison.
Right. Come on now. That part about it, I had to – you know, agree. I hate we won't see it, but yeah, I don't know what's going on. Jordan, neither one of them really could dress, but I think Kobe might have Jordan on the dressing because Jordan going to have bell bottom slacks on now.
I like them later suits, them slim cut suits. I thought Kobe was killing the game with them slim cut.
That's what I said. You know, he got better. I don't know. I guess he used to be the person. Jordan was tripping the whole time. His jeans, he wore dad jeans before dad's wore. But he is a GOAT. He helped Kobe. He did.
I mean, the blueprint of what Kobe. I mean, nobody else was willing to put in the work. I mean, the footage was there, right? I mean, the footage was there. was there to put the work in, but nobody was willing to put the work into what Joe said at the beginning of the show. Is, I mean, I think he was a personification of hard work and sweat equity paying off as far as NBA or any sport for that matter. I don't think I know of anybody in any sports that had put in the work that Kobe did, unless you go back to like from Jerry Rice type workouts.
In the GOAT?
Yeah,
the NFL GOAT put in work.
Which NFL GOAT we talking about?
Thomas. Hey, they said that boy put in work. You know that's not my team. They say he put in work too now.
I mean, he's got the rings to show us. I mean, it's kind of hard to argue that one.
Right. But the impact, what else can we say about Kobe? It's just so much in this show. You know, we got to our listeners, we got loose. We're not really rambling. It's just a loose format because there's so much in this small amount of time. And we know you guys have heard everything else. It's just, it's nothing, I don't know. It's just unreal. Like y'all keep saying, I think about him and his daughter, the rest of the kids on there. All they're doing is trying to get to a basketball game.
And it's, you know, and to the listeners out there, man, like, yeah, it might seem sporadic, you know what I mean? But I do think it's just, you know, counseling for us as we sit around and just try to release some of this stuff that we've been thinking about in our minds and just having this conversation about, you know, one of the greatest to ever do it. You feel me? Like, I take away so much stuff from this situation. I mean, this ideal of, you know, in my mind, the greatest to ever do it, leaving church simply to go support his baby, bro. Like, you feel me?
Right.
Like, there's something, that's as a father, how that's can you it. Not get behind? Like, they go to right. they go that, to church. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's just right. what it is, bro. But, like, that, and, you know, and there was this video clip of all the kids sitting at that gym waiting on them to get there. Sadly,
right.
they're not going to show up. And then when they get the word, everybody just
life, bro.
That's something
going
to stick with them, bro.
For
the rest of their day. Like, they drop to their knees and pray. You feel me? Like, waiting on him. And then to get the word that he passed and your teammates passed. And, you know, just to see them kids drop to their knees in tears and
right.
reaching out for their parents and crying and whatnot. Like,
right.
it's something
like, both
I
you,
never
both seen. Both of you, your coach and your assistant coach and two of your teammates. Unbelievable.
Right.
Yeah. It's just, you know, you can't put into words like the loss.
When I was trying to gather my news, as another piece of news, but I knew I was going to just weave it in with the story, you know, weave it in with what we're talking about, the topic, about the resellers. The impact is so big that even me, I will admit, we used to always talk. I think me and Jay used to talk about it a couple of years ago, like, hey, man, stock up on your Jordan, man. Jordan going to die. We're going to get rich. You know? But I'm still thinking, you know, you never know the time. So, yeah, stock up is a good idea. And then whenever, blah, blah, blah. But for this to happen the way it happened, my feelings even was like, damn, that's, you know, it's messed up. And in the resale community, a lot of people know, a lot of listeners know from my bio, I'm heavily into shoes. I am a reseller myself, and I'm a shoe collector. So I looked at it from both parts. But it has, the COVID deal has split the sneaker community down the middle. You got the Grinch,
bro.
You got the Christmas Kobe 6 Grinches, which were already going for $900 last week. $3,300.
Oh my god!
Today,
I saw that, bro.
For
$3,000
for a $160 shoe.
Yeah.
At the store, $160.
At the store, $160 right now reselling for $3,000.
$3,300 was $900 last week. Now they've always been, you know, $900 a month ago.
Which number was
I
this?
I was looking for those.
They're the Jordan 6 Grinches. They is Christmas shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not Jordan. Kobe 6 Grinches.
The Kobe 6.
Uh huh.
Yeah. I was looking for those black and yellow Pro Throws, like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh man. a prompter, that was it. But they was over with. And so the resellers was like, a lot of you guys are just getting them. Well, I mean, but they're Snicker resellers, so they are going to get them if they die. I had a listen on this podcast. I was listening to a caller. He said, wait a minute. If you are a Kobe fan, then you should have some merchandise. It don't have to be a jersey, but it could be a jersey, maybe a hat, a T-shirt, or at least a pair. You know, a couple of pairs of Kobe's. And if you did, when he died, you know to get to the store because it is going to be raped for the foreseeable future. It's going to be there.
Well, hey, let me give you a whole other angle to it, and even from our bios, Tank, you talked about shoes, and I hadn't talked to you guys about it, but you know, I've gotten back into collecting basketball cards.
Right.
My goal is I'm just trying to collect Luka Doncic and De'Aaron Foxes specifically, but anyway, as I was looking at some of the sites that they pulled, every site that I looked at, they pulled all the cards off their off of sale.
Right.
Hey, bro. But like I was just gonna say, I was just getting ready to say that, like Nike, like pulled all the Kobe memorabilia off their site as well. Like, you know what I mean? And a lot of places are saying they don't want to monetize his loss. So what they're doing is just like taking all his stuff off anyway. Like they just, you know what I mean? They don't even want to sell it because they don't want to come across like they're making money off of this tragic situation. And, you know, like I said, they have never done this before.
That's what I was about to say. We are in, for the first time, not the first time, but this is one of those times in our lives, we are in uncharted waters. Nike don't even know what to do. They have lost no star ever. It's been no athlete with merchandise. It's not even really been fashion icons with merchandise. Okay, Gianni Versace died, but we didn't, you know. But Ralph Lauren's still living. Tommy Hilfiger still living. Phil Knight still living. Every athlete with merch is still living. So it's, who knows? No, they don't, like you said, like the baseball card. No one knows what to do. Nike is in, you can imagine, they've been in meetings all day yesterday and all day today. Because
trying to figure out how to deal.
Right, because do we put out the rest of these Nike shirts? If we do, people are going to buy them and sell them. They are.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? They are. They don't know what to do. I've never really seen a company at within, but they are. They don't know what to do. And the crazy part is they are going to start backselling. Huh?
Yeah, I was just saying, I've never seen it. Seen this before. Like,
we've never seen it. I thought about it. I said, man, you know they know it's coming one day, but not today. And so now they don't know what to do because everybody knows that they are definitely going to start backselling Kobe. It's not like they're through selling Kobe forever.
No, matter of fact, go ahead.
Instead of 3,000, when they come back, they're going to be 2,000. They're never going back down to 200. Never.
Like gas. Like
it's
gas
the greatest
tank.
Huh?
I said, like gas prices. They ain't never going all the way back.
Like
down.
Gas prices. They're not. Hey, man. It's a lot of people like Joe. Not a couple of thousand. Millions. Kobe is the best. It's not a debate. Is it one, two, or three? That's it. So they're never going back down. So it's going to be interesting
never,
to see, you know, what they're going to do. I mean, I saw real deal resellers that have been cool with each other for years fall out. Because some people are like, you mean to tell me they monetize air when you die? You don't think the funeral home getting money off your family? You don't think that? You know, it wasn't no big funerals with the big Cadillacs in the 1800s. They dig a hole, there you go. Same 16 as everybody else. You did. It don't matter.
Man, you look at, I want to say February the 7th, bro. Like, you know what I mean? That you say about the shoes, but February the 7th was supposed to be the release of the Kobe Bryant new shoes. And now they're looking at, like, they don't know what to do. Should they let them go or not? But they sweet, though. Like, they white, black, and gold.
They're not going to drop the 7th.
Yeah, like, you feel me? Like, I can't foresee them dropping them. You feel me?
But what's going to happen when they drop the Kobe Jordan 3s, them cement 3s that Kobe wore? That's what I used to like them too. With the Laker color J's. It's going to be murder all over again.
It's going to be crazy. Do you hear
me? I'm going to get them. I got to get them.
I got to have them, bro. I got to have I gotta have him. I mean, you know, that's how Joy.
Yeah.
That's how Joy gonna show his love.
No,
like
Mike.
You feel me? I'm sure Mike might drop some 11s on the world. Some purple and gold 11s. I wouldn't even be shocked.
Hello.
Yeah.
So,
craziness.
It's gonna be interesting. Jerseys. You know, one thing about the jerseys, they're sold out everywhere now, but it's easy to get the jerseys back. The shoes, Nike,
yeah, you gonna get them.
They've never been in.
Yeah.
Hey, Tank, tell Mike to call into the show.
Call in the show. Uh-huh. It's your show. Call in or something. Listeners, we sorry. My brother's crazy. He hears Joe and Jay voice. And don't, but he said he didn't know I was on the show. I guess.
But
yeah, man. Yeah. You was about to say something, Jay. What was it?
Oh, I think the only thing that I just wanted to make sure that I said and was, I know that we touched on his hard work, and I think that one thing that I take away from Kobe, and I think that anybody should take away from Kobe, is to not listen to the outside distractions. I mean, I don't think anybody has ever avoided the outside noise better than Kobe Bryant has. I mean, even for the early part of his career, that, I mean, people have disliked LeBron for a lot of different reasons, but people really, really hated Kobe Bryant in his early years of his confidence, you know, of the confidence that he carried in him, of his style being similar to Michael Jordan, but that never changed him from being the person that he was. And he was always completely confident in himself.
And he did what he said. You know, I know I felt the way when he's telling us, I'm going to be better than Mike. What? The nerve of you, youngster. But he showed up and showed out.
Showed up and showed out, bro. But like,
dropped a 40 burger against every team in the NBA.
Man, do you understand that stat right there, bro?
Come get 40 of these. All y'all.
Bro. Every team in the NBA has seen a 40-point game for Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, come see me. I got 40 burgers for
that
the
is
league.
Crazy, bro. For everybody, bro.
Yeah, I have. Hey, guess what? Hey, Milwaukee, I have a 40 burger for you. Carolina, hey, Phoenix. Hey, Sacktown, I'm coming to town. But I have a 40 burger with me today. Every team,
man, bro. I don't know if y'all you know how what's his name? The little kid on the team that always shot the ball, bro. Like they was talking about I can't think of the little girl on the name on the team. But on the Lakers, bro, like on that last run when he had the Achilles, the little kid that went to they got snitched on with Iggy Azalea.
Nick Young.
Oh,
Nick Young, bro.
Swaggy P, bro.
Like, Swaggy tells this story, bro, of Kobe Bryant, them getting blowed out by Portland. You feel me? And says,
right,
like, when they got back in the locker room after losing by 30, he told everybody, the Kobe Bryant shoes that I gave y'all to play in, I want them all back. Because you don't deserve it.
Right.
He took,
and that's real talk. Because y'all got it.
Swaggy
Kobe ain't
said
with
he
that.
Took they shoes in the locker room after the game, bro, and said, listen, until you all, you know, until you all show up to play basketball, bro, you do not deserve to put on my shoes. And took they damn shoes in the locker room, bro.
Get my shit back.
Love it.
Hey,
give me my shit back, bro.
Was that Swagger P or was that Smush Parker that Kobe threw his shoes in the trash when he tried to give them to Kobe?
Bro, that was Smush Parker, bro. What that Smush? Bro, Smush Parker hates Kobe Bryant to this day, bro.
Kobe Bryant, too. Same, vice versa.
Like, bro, they asked Kobe on the show, like, he was on Jimmy Kimmel one time. And they asked him, like, they showed him this clip of when they won a basketball game after a 9-game winning streak. Well, 9-game losing streak, and they just had won a game. And it was Nick Young and them, and they was all, you know, they jumped in the camera like, hey, what's up, what's up? Yeah, we here, baby. We here, we here. And the disgust on Kobe Bryant's face, like, he looked at the camera like, are these motherfuckers serious, man? You won one game out of 10, and you celebrating, bro? Like, man, Kobe Bryant had, like, this intensity, bro, like, it will probably never see again from a basketball player, but like that man was relentless in regards of winning championship.
And like a lot of the new game, like a lot of the new guys that's in the league now, and like a lot of people, I see what they were saying. Okay, back in the when I'm watching MJ, you guys younger than me, but y'all still watching it. But it was the Sundays. You know, we didn't get that many games as is. Not like now. Now every NBA game you can watch. You got a team, you can lock in on it. You know, if you spell it, you really want to watch it. So these people growing up, they seeing him, they idolize him, they see it. Oh, they see the dog, they see the moves. They see can't nobody check it. They see that just like Jordan, the flu, what's the flu? Let's go. Let's get it. You don't care about that now.
They you don't care about it, bro. Let's go.
Was just, well, right when you thought you were going to forget about Kobe, he dropped an 81 bomb. People was like, wait a minute, 81? Come on.
Come
on. When have we seen that again? Or before that, why, in our NBA era?
Let's not forget about when he dislocated his right shoulder and then went a few games playing shooting ball with his left.
Right.
Like this, this guy was.
Like, it's Mamba. It's Mamba. It's Mamba. That's what I'm saying. Come on now. You got to – I tell people, you got to and I feel bad. A lot of people, what you got to understand is even with his brotherhood of his NBA player, everybody got a brotherhood of whoever they deal with some type of way, everybody. And it's rocking them. I can see it. When my guy, he was more than my DJ friend when Marcy died. Us DJs that knew him, he's just, damn, is what you're saying. What? You think Shaq and them, they just think about that, like Shaq said on the phone call. Man, we the greatest duo ever. It will not be a better two-man team than Shaq and Kobe. And Shaq said he always thought about we either be in the nursing home or even on the show. Doing, you know, Shaq has made a nice transition to the movies and to him and Chuck to the NBA, you know, what they do on TNT.
Mm-hmm.
Just to have him on the road talking about it. It's over with. They won't even get the Hall of Fame speech from Kobe, dog.
Man. And you knew it was going to be epic. You knew it was going to be epic.
And then his daughter, who would you want to get a speech, the girl that's just like him, can't get one from her. You know, it would have been heartwarming, self-defeating if she could do it, but she can't even do it.
Man.
Think about this, bro. Think about everybody he played against, even in players that he was busting up their girls, all in, everybody coming, home NBA coming club. If you don't think that present and everybody that played with him against, I'm trying to tell y'all. Y'all already know it because you're playing against the best. Even your story, you 40-some years old now or in your 30s. And for your kids that's coming up and your grandkids, that's what they see. Yeah, what was it like? Yeah, I played with Kobe. He was my teammate, my brother. Man, Mac, he took him up, bro.
And I think,
I used to be with him. Are you serious? Not I used to be with him. He was sick. Not I used to be with him. We older and reminiscent, which is still be sad. I was with him, be with him like last week. That's crazy, man. All-Star weekend going to be insane. Tell y'all that right now.
That's what.
All-Star weekend is going to be insane.
Where is it
Chicago. At? It's in Chicago. They was already calling it Mike Homecoming for being in Chicago. It's going to be insane. I got a feeling that Nike coming
out. Hey, much respect to the NBA for the way that they have handled all of this and memorializing Kobe and you know, recognizing his accomplishment.
Give him a round of applause for that, Jay.
All right.
NBA that has handled it real well. You know, the 24-second shot clock, I like that. The steady, the other gym, turning the lights on. And that goes to what I'm saying. You got the Knicks lighting up purple and gold. They got to go. Because, like Spike Lee know, yes, Spike, I dropped that 61 on you. You the reason why I dropped that 61, homie.
Yeah.
You naker.
it's Rich. We're talking about Kobe, and to kind of go just a different direction before we gotta get into those top five. What are y'all thoughts on that situation there? For those who don't know, or for those who might be familiar with a young lady, I don't know if the station was out of California or not, but in trying to talk about Kobe Bryant's history and his past. She, instead of calling the Los Angeles Lakers, she said the Los Angeles Niggers, which she says that she got the Knicks and the Lakers mixed up. And, you know, there's been a lot of drama and there's been a lot of turmoil about it. But what are y'all thoughts on that whole situation?
My first thought and my thought now is I'm not going to let her, if she did mean it, and the racist folk, or her, and she did not mean it, and these activists ruined Mamba Week. Impossible. Not going to happen.
I'm not even going down that road.
Okay, here we go again. My hero from the state went up. I ain't thinking about what none of y'all talking about on that one.
Bro, and Jay, this is going to be a short topic, bro, because I agree 1,000%, bro. Like, that's exactly my thought. Like, I promise you, like, you know what I mean? And we didn't have no pre-meeting meeting on this or nothing. That's exactly my thought about the situation.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn either way. Because at the end of the day, I know a distraction when I see one.
Exactly.
From what we need to be talking about, which is Kobe Bryant at the end of the day. But you feel me?
Right.
Whether she said it and didn't mean it or whatever, however it go, whatever. I still feel like a distraction, bro. Like, that was a huge debate about
right.
whether she said it or not versus,
right.
you know, let's get back to the legacy of this man, bro. Like, this is
right. That's,
like,
what
we,
that's what I said. It's a distraction for,
I thought that's
for
what we,
whichever side. I'm not
yeah.
going to see which side causing the distraction. I'm continuing with Mamba Week so I get to Patrick Mahomes
yeah.
now. So.
Yeah, to the Patrick Mahomes playing that week, bro. Like, you feel me?
Right.
But I didn't think she got fired for it, though. You feel me?
She got fired for it?
And
but,
yeah,
but
I heard
she got fired. I saw that, but I didn't see confirmation. But I saw that, you know, again, I didn't see confirmation.
And
she was, you know, she said the Knicks and the Lakers from some about, because she was talking about the Knicks game. I mean, it's possible. And it's possible she wouldn't.
Right.
Are we saying that she's just going to fall on the sword and call him a nigga and just be out of there? Are we that what you're saying?
I don't know, bro. The girl, the lady, if she work at MSNBC, bro,
right.
is it not stationed in New York? Like, you feel me? Like, is Nick not what she talk about? Probably the majority of what she, you
I mean,
know,
that's what
of
she was
her
talking
time
about.
Over there.
That's
what
she was talking about. She was talking about the Knicks then. It was because it was about the Knicks lighting up the stadium in the colors. So she was talking about the Knicks showing love for the Lakers.
At that moment, bro. Yeah, bro.
And then the other part
weird,
that I,
bro.
I heard a lady say this morning, and I think that is that they said it best, is you have to consider the source, right? Like, has she been biased in her reporting before? Like, has she been programmed?
Nerd.
We don't know. Like, we don't know what's in her heart or what's in her. I'm not gonna get caught
yeah.
up in one word to determine what she meant or to lose
yeah,
the distraction of what it's all about.
Right. Was she ever attached to anything racist ever in her career? You know, what I mean?
Right.
in her life, like, you know. What I mean?
But what I don't have time this week to do is go Google that and see. You know,
because I'm too busy
yet,
Googling the highlights of Kobe yamming on Dwight Howard. I'm too busy. You know what I mean? Like, that's the type of shit I'm gonna look at, bro. I don't got time to go look it up.
But because if she meant it with malice, if she been a racist, we should be getting that information. I would have talked by today. If we don't come tomorrow,
right.
man, or just hidden like that, and anything, everybody know this real people. Anything that got to be hid, you know, that ain't nothing. No way.
Right.
Hide it. You know, it's a lot of them wear that swastika on their chest, on the middle of their forehead. They ain't hiding it.
That's
you know
right.
It's Crip Blood, they ain't hiding it. Whoever, gangbanger, dope, cartel, they're not hiding it. They're coming on with it. It's real racist that's coming on with it. They ain't talking about nothing what y'all talking about. They not hiding it. So, you know, you got to do,
yeah.
We got to do 4 days of digging to,
Riddle me this part. So you mean to tell me that this woman waited her whole career to get a job,
become a doctor,
get on TV, and wait for her moment to call Kobe Bryant, who just passed away? Like, is that what we're really saying?
Look, every day she on there and call you niggas out daily. You know, pick that day. You know,
it was a moment right here, bro.
It's Kobe dad. I'm just gonna
all the robbing, all the killing you niggas do. This is the time right here, bro. It's my moment.
When there's only two blacks on the helicopter, I'm just gonna just use it now. It's just not like it was
right
going to Wakanda. It wasn't like that was going on Soul Plane to Wakanda.
This is
the
best time to do it, bro.
And like me and Joe said, she may have. But that's a distraction.
Yeah, that's
I think it's a distraction. She lost a job. Hey, she lost a job.
Yeah, bro. Like, you know, I'm gonna do the top five right now, but I'm gonna switch it up tonight. In love and memory of my big man, bro, my homeboy, my basketball hero, Kobe Bryant, and I'm gonna do the top eight. You know what I mean? So I'm
gonna
do.
Oh snap! I heard that.
Straight up, salute to my man, bro. So we're going to do the eight reasons why Kobe Bryant is the greatest in my eyes, bro. You see, we talk about what made Kobe so great, because I knew we was going to spend time on him as a player, him as a father, him as a, you know what I mean, an entrepreneur and all these things. But I'm going to bring it back to the court, bro, and some of the little stuff off the court or whatnot. But the reason why, in my mind, I've always went hard for the dude why Kobe Bryant was the greatest I've ever seen. So, I'm going to start with number eight. My man had 15 all-star selections. It was in a time where the players voted more, and the media voted, you know what I mean, before they started letting fans vote and do all that. But when it was about the players and about the media, you know, 15 different selections, his peers thought that if we're going to talk about the great players in our league, Kobe Bryant's name had to be mentioned. So I want to start off the top five with, you know, with his peers always salute him for being an all-star. Number seven, I think this goes unrecognized, and I had to salute my man. My boy Jay is a sports fanatic. So when you brought it up earlier, Jay, I was like, my man didn't enter my top eight right now. You know what I mean? I was quiet about it. But my man was digging it, you know what I mean? But it was one of them rare moments that I don't think people really give him credit for. But number seven, Kobe Bryant put life back into USA basketball in 2008. I think not only did he rightfully rejuvenate the USA basketball team, but every player who took away from, you know, playing with him, it, you know, a lot of them end up becoming something more than what they was after playing with him. Even LeBron said that, you know, that USA team, he realized the importance of being there every day and playing, like, tenacious defense. Like, Kobe, in a nutshell, in the last 2 minutes, had 9 points, 2 assists, and guarded Spain. You know, when we was down 2 points in the last 2 minutes, guarded Spain's toughest offensive player. But he just went on an onslaught and to go get the gold medal. But I think it goes underrated, the life he put back into USA basketball. All right, so number six, another thing about Kobe Bryant that I think goes untalked about, the man was a great defender, like one of the best as a guard. Matter of fact, Michael Jordan, Gary Payton, and Garnett got the most all-team defense selections of all time, and I think it was 9. But, you know, that's a nice list to be on, to have 9 first-team all-defense selections or whatnot, with
exactly.
Gary Payton, who we regard as one of the, you know, best defensive point guards ever, Michael Jordan, who is regarded as a great two-way player, you know what I mean, probably the greatest ever, and, you know, Kevin Garnett.
There you go. There you go. You're almost
broke. You know, KG, who did his thing. You get what I'm saying? So I would just say NBA, his all-defensive team, his 9 selection, number 6 goes unnoticed at times. Number 5, with his passing, a lot of the players that played with him, a lot of his peers, they have said this. I've always known this about him, but to see the stories that's coming out, Kobe Bryant had the craziest work ethic of any NBA athlete ever. You know what I mean? Like, that goes crazily unstated sometimes. You know, Dwight Howard, you know, said that he was not going into no damn gym at 5 o'clock in the morning. And that's the reason why they beat. But, you know, I see Kobe practicing at 5 o'clock in the morning, every morning. But after a game, he got a 5, you know, he have a practice session set up after the game at the next city they're going in. It's just unreal what he was willing to do to his body to become special and to become great. And either you're going to do the same thing and put the work in and become great, or you're just going to watch me run all over your ass. And that's what he was willing to do to himself to be great. Watch out for Jason Tatum, because Jason Tatum himself has gone through, like, the Kobe training now and felt like he has to take on that work ethic. So I've always looked at Jason Tatum as, is he going to pick up that Mamba mentality that, you know, he worked on with Kobe with side by side. So we'll go on to number 4. What makes Kobe the greatest in my eyes was his 8-1 point night, bro. Like, it was an 8-1 point that was needed. They needed all of it to win. It wasn't like he was just out there, you know, showing off. They was up 40. He was still out there putting. They was in the third quarter, fourth quarter, battling versus the Raptors. They couldn't do anything to him. The Raptors coach said they had boxing ones. They had all type of defenses they were throwing at them, different zones and different zone packages, running out different defenders. There was nothing you could do with Kobe Bryant that night. He was on another level. His scoring is just crazy. Like, I think in the last 50 years, there has been no player other than him to score 50 points in 4 straight games. 50 points in 4 straight games in the last 50 years has never been done by no player. Every player, every team in the NBA that's in a 40 ball against this man, for real. You feel me? Like, it's just crazy, bro. Kobe's also the only player with 3 consecutive playoff runs with 600 points. Like, putting up 600 points in 3 straight playoffs. Kobe Bryant is unreal when it comes to, like, scoring. I think he's, you know, shout out to LeBron, who just passed him on the scoring list. You know, some of the injuries caught up with Kobe because he was on Karl Malone's ass. He was coming for you, Karl. I know you know he was coming. But to get, you know, those injuries caught up with him at the end of his career. But, you know, shout out to his 8-1 point night. Number 3, what made my man, like, the greatest of all time with me was his killer instinct. That thing at the end of the game that said, I'm not losing this game. Kobe had that. Kobe was willing to go against everybody to win. He was willing to shoot when nobody else wanted to shoot. That Mamba mentality made him great. Them 2 rings back-to-back when they said he couldn't win without Shaq. He went out there with a killer instinct, with a starting 5 of Derek Fisher, Ron Artest, and Andrew Bynum. Gasol, I think, was the only all-star at the time that joined the team before whatever. But Artest, them, all them won championships alongside Kobe, didn't catch one after Kobe. So that just goes to show, like, the killer instinct that he instilled to the people that was around him, even after Shaq left. Number 2, his mind on and off the court made that man great, bro. Like, the things he was ready to do for for women basketball because of his daughter, because of the things that he saw that needed changes, like the income level, he was instrumental on trying to raise the money that female basketball players make just his mind on the court, being a student of the game, 5 championships in total, bro, going to go win an Academy Award after basketball was over with, his show detail.
Right.
He was all over the place. The languages that he spoke, you know what I mean? Italian reporter could go and speak to him, and he'll fluently speak to that reporter, turn right back around and speak Spanish to another reporter, and then turn right back around and answer a question in French. Kobe Bryant was a worldly superstar, and his mind on and off the court, bro, he was always curious, always trying to get better. They say he would take a move that he saw in the league that year and go perfect that move and bring it back the next season because he wanted to know a move that he saw that was great. He wanted to take it and put his spin on it and see could he make somebody stop it. Kobe Bryant was crazy mentally on and off the court. And the number one thing, bro, like that I would say that made Kobe Bryant the best player I ever seen, the man literally was a perfect player, bro. Like T-Mac said he's never seen a flaw in his game. LeBron James said there was no flaws in him. If you step back, he can shoot a three on you. If you go up, he can go past you. He had a mid-range game, a post game. He was good at the free throw line. The fadeaway shot that he had, he could drive, he could finish. He was tenacious. He was tough. He could play in that era with Jordan and, you know, the Bad Boy Pistons and the Celtics. And he could also play in this era, you know what I mean, with running and whatnot and just putting up buckets because you know he going to shoot. So in this shooting offensive era, he ain't scared of that either. He was an all-around amazing, flawless skill player. And I'm going to miss watching him play, but I'm going to miss just seeing him in that big, bright smile of his and his family, man. Kobe, my favorite player of all time, the greatest I've ever seen. Rest in power, my brother. You're going to be missed. And that's my top 8 for Kobe Bryant.
Bravo, bravo, bravo.
I don't have any. Only thing that I can say about Kobe Bryant is I definitely have learned something about having focus and the importance of work ethic from him. And prayers are to all of those of all of those 9 people and all of the families and friends of those who were impacted by all of those individuals on there. So definitely don't want to take away from any of those others that lost their lives. But that's all I got. Mamba out.
Right. My partner shot is again, you know, prayers up to the family, everybody who lost on their faithful flight, you know. Rest in peace, though. We're going to see you. Your legacy, your family legacy going to hold on forever. It's bigger than, you know, I didn't imagine it like this. So it's bigger than in every respect. So you're going to long live. You're the true definition of long live Kobe.
Joe, you want to close us out with your partner track?
Yeah, man. I just want to say, like, I've been watching dude since I was 15 years old. And I'm going to pull away the work ethic and just the drive and just, and try to instill in my children and the people I manage just a relentlessness of being great. I can't thank that man enough for everything that he had just brought to my life and the joy that I got from just watching him. Every time I watched Kobe Bryant, I felt like I was entertained in some type of way. He never, you know, shortchanged me as a fan. I really was impacted by just who he was, and I hope, you know what I mean, I could be a fraction of focused as he was on the court, man. Like, so, you know, he was bigger than basketball. In a lot of ways, he was bigger than life to a lot of people. He's, you know, a huge global icon. He's going to be missed. We lost a great, but, you know, I think I got from Jay and Tank that we all would take a part of it and put it in people that we love. And, you know, that's that Mamba mentality, and it's going to live on forever. So, you know what I mean? Kobe has passed, but legends don't die. So he'll always be here with us, you know?
That's it. That's all. Thanks, y'all. Game 7 next Tuesday.
Problem.
Game 7 next Tuesday.
Tuesday. We got something new for y'all next Tuesday.
Special
next Tuesday.
Do you hear me, baby? It's
going to
be crazy.
We might have a dance. Who knows? All right.
All right.